Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. For tuning in today, I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Hope you're having a good day. I wanted to say again a special shout out to my friend Bill Arnold for stepping in at the last minute for me yesterday. Needed to go to the hospital to be with my sister and her husband. As you know, he's battling pancreatic cancer. Not really at liberty to give an update right now, but just suffice to say we desperately, well, we just cherish your prayers. But I want to say thank you to Bill. Thank you for you for praying. I just saw some notes and messages. God bless you for that. So glad to be back in the saddle today. So here's my question for you, if you're married especially. But if you're not, I want you to just stay tuned because I think you're going to get a lot of out of this conversation either way. But here is for you specifically if you're married. Do you believe that God has a purpose for your marriage? Do you believe God actually has a purpose for your marriage? And if so, what do you suppose that unique purpose is? Well, my guest today wrote this. Both you and your spouse hold a distinct purpose together. God designed and destined your marriage for greatness. Love that. He hardwired your spouse and your DNA, combining them together with the intent of birthing something truly amazing in your marriage purpose. Well, Greg and Julie Gorman join me to talk about how to craft a mission statement and a vision for your marriage. I know some of you are single, but I really believe this conversation will apply to you and inspire you as well. It'll help you get a vision for your life, for where God is taking you. So do stay tuned. I'm going to get Greg and Julie on in a moment. A couple quick announcements. One, a special shout out to our listeners tuning in Madison. We've got a new translator there. Maybe you have just tuned in. Maybe you've been listening in on Faith 1190, but we've got a loud and clear FM signal 104.7. Also, Faith Radio, we're honored to be partnering again with FEBC. That's broadcasting the life-changing Word of God in 40 countries in 100 languages. Do you know that listeners from all over the world are asking for radios because they so desperately want to know more about the living God and his power to restore hope? And you can share the gospel by getting a radio into the hands of people who otherwise would not have one. Every $30 you give provides one radio, and every radio has the power to reach 25 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? If you want to learn more and you want to be a radio missionary at a whole new level, you can check it out at givearadio.org. All right, let me tell you about my guests, and we'll get this conversation started. Greg and Julie Gorman are the founders of Gorman Leadership, a faith-based organization committed to providing life-transforming content and pathways to sustainable growth. Together, they write, produce, and host weekly broadcasts and are certified by Dr. John C. Maxwell as executive coaches and trainers. Greg and Julie, along with their three children, make their home in Southern Florida. You can find their influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Greg and Julie, this is the only time I'm going to ask you or say something to you both at the same time, but welcome back to the program.
We are so glad to be here, Susie. Thanks for having us.
Always a joy to be with you.
Always a joy to have you, and congratulations on another great book. Very excited for both of you, and I'll do my best to direct the questions at each of you so that you're not, well, I know you two like to dance, but in case you want to not step on each other's toes, let's start with Julie, if we could. Julie, do you have a verse in your heart, either a life verse, one that pertains to the content, or just one you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Yeah, you know, the whole premise of our book is that two are better than one. So I love where King Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. He said, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him, but pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. And then later he goes on to write, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. I'm so grateful for that third strand of the Holy Spirit.
How has that passage impacted just your perspective of your marriage with Greg over the years?
You know, I think with, and you know our story, we've had the privilege of sharing it before, but we started out pretty rocky. I think we spent more time comparing and competing with one another. But because of that third strand and because God worked in us, I think just more of a spiritual maturity and got us to a place where we were surrendered with Him. We started, instead of comparing and competing, we started to celebrate. And man, I'm so grateful for Greg. We are night and day difference, but those night and day differences actually complement and make us stronger.
So beautiful. Greg, how about you?
Well, I love that verse because it has truly come to mean so much to us. And, you know, in the early days, the way God spoke to us, he would warn us with things like, you know, if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. And we needed that kind of almost stern reprimand. In other words, if you don't get it right, then, you know, I'm going to kill you. Not really, but, you know.
Or we were going to kill one another.
We were going to kill one another was really what it was. But, you know, our message began in the way that God began to speak to us as we grew and became more mature together, was a lot more directed towards, okay, where are we headed here? What is it that you really want out of our lives? And God was able to respond with, you know, why don't you look at your purpose? And it was a really odd sort of prompting initially. We've been working with couples for many years, and most of the time, like many folks, when they get into issues or whatever in their marriage, and they have enough gumption to reach out to someone to get help, then many times the response is, well, let's work on the problems, let's work on the issues, let's try to fix some of the things that aren't working well. And what happened for us is we realized that if every thought leader throughout time has been correct in the one thing that they agree on, that we become what we think about, that we gravitate towards what we contemplate. As King Solomon said, you know, as we think in our heart, so are we, right? And if all of that's true, then we've got to make sure that we're focused on the right thing. So we begin to change our heart to become very more purpose-focused rather than problem-focused.
I absolutely love that. And I can remember the distinct time in the midst of our financial and physical brokenness early on in marriage when God gave us a sense of vision and purpose for our marriage. Mm. It absolutely did change everything. Suddenly we looked up and we thought, we have to steward even our fights, our arguments, our disagreements with a grander purpose in mind. So instead of being in the weeds and majoring in the minors, we thought, how is this particular battle preparing us for the bigger giants in the land as we fulfill the purposes of God? I mean, it suddenly became a positive, exciting thing because we were invited to something bigger than ourselves. Julie, speak to just the idea of, I mean, I know you've got stories in the book of when you two have counseled couples when they want to stay in the weeds because it's he said, she said, they want their pound of flesh, you know, and you're asking them, look up and get a sense of grander purpose. Talk about what you've seen when the light kind of starts to go on for these couples.
You know, I think of one couple in particular, Susie, and they had been married 27 years. There was pornography was involved, a lot of financial strains and difficulties, and certainly a different paradigm in how they would spend their money. And if anybody was set up to have some bitterness and hurt and pain, it would have been this couple. So 27 years into it, they had been living separate for 2 years. And they actually came to our home and did a three-day intensive retreat in our home with a marriage life plan. And as we worked through it, Greg finally just looked at him at one point and said, do you want your marriage to work? And they both agreed, and we knew that they had because we prepared them beforehand. And so then we began to talk about envisioning what their ideal marriage would look like. We began to talk about dreams that they would both share. We built on core values and common interests, and they started to get giddy. They started to laugh. They started to dream together. And the end result for that particular couple, God really showed them what their unique plan and purpose was for their future, and they went home, husband and wife. He moved back into their home, and they're still thriving today. And so it's just amazing when people begin to think, wait a minute, we don't have to be fighting against one another. We can fight for one another. And instead of being that me-focused, they can be we-focused in the relationship. And when couples begin to get that, what's great is it's not another to-do list. that they have to do, right? It's not another, okay, now I've got to go serve, and now I have to deny myself, and now I have to put their needs before my needs. It's instead, it's like, wow, we really have something to work together, to move together towards, and it's life-giving. So again, when discovering God's purpose for our marriage isn't some laborious act. It's not a to-do list. It's more a celebration of who we are.
So good. Many years ago, my hubby and I volunteered as youth pastors just on the side. You know, that's like dabbling in brain surgery, by the way. But anyway, we volunteered. Yeah, we volunteered for about 5-6 years. We had about 40 kids at our house every week for a number of years. Oh. It was awesome. But we would take the kids to Choir the Fire. And there was a time where Ron Luce, the founder, would pull the youth leaders apart, you know, separate and just kind of invest in them. And one thing he said, my husband was in that group of just youth pastors and leaders. He said, the sports coaches are doing a better job at casting a vision for our kids than pastors and youth pastors are, because kids normally are egocentric. They are not going to sacrifice sleep. They're not going to sacrifice fun time. Mm-hmm. You know, but he said for sports, they're getting up early. They're staying up late. They're denying their flesh and training their bodies, because somehow that sports coach has cast a vision for their lives. And it's never left me, but I feel like in the same way, this is what you guys are doing marriage-wise, Greg, where as you cast a vision, then sacrifice and denying your flesh and saying no when you want to say yes becomes a means to an end versus, I don't want to say, you know, he's always doing that. You're kind of, you know, keeping score when you don't have a vision. Speak to that if you would.
Vision is the fuel, you know. I like to think about it this way. It helps me anyway. There are lots of different ways that we can achieve a particular goal, right, or move towards an idea or a purpose. And most of the time, we tend to think about that in terms of a new discipline that we need to implement. You know, we need to get ourselves on the straight and narrow, on the track, right, so that we can't slide off of it. And the reality is that most of those disciplines, when they are just disciplines, they wear out after a while. I don't know about you, but I'll do okay for a little while, and then, well, I end up off the track, you know. Mm-hmm. But when discipline becomes inspired discipline, then it's really not discipline at all. You know, it's inspiration. It's inspiration driven. And so when we are inspired by a vision, something that we want, then what happens is at least for me and the couples we've worked with, we begin to see what the next logical step is to move towards that. And it's not a drudgery. It's a joy.
Such a good word. Talking to Greg and Julie Gorman, title of their new book, we're celebrating. I endorsed it, happy to do so. Two are better than one. God has a purpose for your marriage. We've got 4 copies to get into your hands. If you've got a question or you want to chime in and tell me, do you have a sense of your purpose in marriage? Have you articulated? That's one of the things Greg and Julie say. It's just very important to be able to say it, to know it, to cast a vision for it. Or maybe you need a little help processing. I'd love to do that with you today. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. 4 copies of 2 are better than 1, and more with Greg and Julie Gorman in just a moment.
If you can take.
You'll love that line. It's never a waste of time or money to put your heart on the line for somebody. Learning to love. Excellent. That's a song by Consumed by Fire. I just love it. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our friends Greg and Julie Gorman, authors of the brand new book, 2 Are Better Than 1, God Has a Purpose for Your Marriage. They have such deep and rich insights around marriage. Just love to talk with them. And Greg, I'm going to aim this one at you. Talk to the person listening today who says, I know what our purpose is. It's companionship and children. Is that enough? Not that that's not a lofty goal, but speak to that, or is it more than that?
You know, we really believe that it is more than that, and we think that Scripture bears that out. You know, one of the things that we've dealt with over our career in coaching couples is, for instance, folks who are dealing with empty nesting, and they thought their purpose was to get their kids up and raised, you know, and so on and so forth. And how many marriages do we know that unfortunately dissolve after the kids get gone because they lose their sense of purpose, and all of a sudden they're together again, and they're not really sure what to do or what they really have in common. So, you know, one of the things that we talk about just in the first part of building the foundation in this particular book is three common purposes that Scripture bears out that we believe are a part of every marriage. And the first one is to make God known. Well, that one's kind of a no-brainer for all of us Christians, right? But as a couple, to make God known. The second one there is to bring Him pleasure. And that one stops me for just a second because, gosh, if I'm working to bring God pleasure in my marriage specifically, then that's going to begin to nip some of the little spats that we might have in the bud, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. And then the third one, I think, is the one that really grabs us the most, not that the others don't, but that's to be an expression of God's unconditional love. It's one of the reasons that God created this thing we call marriage, you know? It's to be an example here on earth as Christians to look different and express unconditional love. And the way we figure is if we can get that one right, all the rest of the stuff really takes care of itself. Hmm. Now, each person and each couple have their own individual purpose inside of that as well. But at the end of the day, whether they land on a specific or a couple of specifics, the idea is just to elevate their thoughts to something that they are working together in common together, because what we feed grows and what we starve dies. And we want to starve out all that problem-focused thinking.
Hmm. Wow. Julie, how would you articulate yours and Greg's purpose and marriage mission?
You know, we have refined it over the years, and what's really fun is that we constantly re-look at it. And when we think about a marriage purpose, one of the things that we like, Susie, is for it to be a broad enough umbrella that it really allows God to give room for us to use all of our gifts, but also specific enough that it gives us kind of our negotiables, our non-negotiables, the things we say yes to, the things we say no to. And so for Greg and I, as we work through the process that we lay out in Two Are Better Than One, God Has a Purpose for Your Marriage, we landed on this, and it's simply to provide pathways to sustainable growth and life transformation. And so when we take that, you know, the bigger umbrella of providing pathways to sustainable growth and life transformation, for us, that means whether we're blogging, whether we're doing videos, whether we're writing books, whether we're doing weekend retreats or conferences, or when it even comes down to parenting our children, right? What we're trying to do is to do it in such a way that there is sustainability and longevity, where there are pathways that it comes back to true life transformation.
How important, that's really great, Julie, how important is it for the couple listening to not only identify but then articulate it so that, you know what I mean, so that there's a target out in front of them?
Oh, yeah. So such a great question. And coming back to the one that you asked Greg, too, you talked about companionship and children. It's not that those things in and of themselves aren't noble and amazing. What would be great, though, is those are core values. And so that's what we would say are core values. And if couples share that together, it's kind of going that next step of how or what or how do we do that uniquely. And the great thing about God's purpose for each individual marriage is it is unique as God is creative. And so when we look back, it's kind of like what Patrick Lencioni said, you know, that an organization, so few of them ever discovered their core values. But just as an organization has to establish who they are in order to succeed, we as couples need to define our core values, really know what that end mission is. So, again, we know what to say yes to and what to say no to, and it's something where we're moving constantly together. Mm. Can I give just one quick example?
Sure.
So for like Greg and I, we come at parenting probably complete opposite spectrums. But he would be the one who's like toeing the line. He's going to get the, you know, he's going to charge the kids towards excellence. And I'm going to love him to excellence, right? And sometimes his command towards excellence and my love towards excellence can clash a little bit. But the great thing is our end result is we feel as parents, our job is to prepare them to be successful in life, to be prepared for life. And so we're going to love them to be prepared to life, and we're going to command them towards excellence. And what's great is if we ever have a disagreement, we know that the end result is that our job is to prepare them to be successful in life, to be ready for the world. And that shapes some of those disagreements so that we, again, know we're working towards that final common goal. And it puts us, again, not what we're fighting against, but we're fighting for and with one another.
All right, keeping that end goal in mind. And, Greg, we've got just about 2.5 minutes before a hard break coming up. But I'd love for you to speak to this, one of these timeless truths you unpack in the book. The foundations for our marriage purpose must be established by God and for God. So this isn't about a couple just going, hey, what should we be about? Talk about just the idea that it has to be established by God for God.
Well, it really does, because if not, you know, one of the things that we encourage couples to do, and even individuals as they're looking to discover God's design for their life, is to look at what they're passionate about and what they really enjoy. And when we start there, of course, there are some things, to be honest, that some might enjoy that, you know, may not be all that edifying to God. So we have to start with the biblical principle, because that's really what gives us the roadmap to make sure everything that we do, for that matter, has to be balanced by looking and checking to see what the Word of God has to say about it. So when we do that, it really gives us the confidence to step forward and aggressively pursue and enjoy what it is that God's called us to do, because, again, if it's something that's in our design, it's what we're created to do, and that takes that whole to-do part out of it and makes it, again, just a joy to be who we were created to be as a couple in this case.
Well, you say that God leaves clues along the way. So for that person listening today saying, I want to discern, I don't want to just pick something out of the air, how do they find the clues, or how do they interpret the clues?
I think the very first thing, again, is start with looking at what your interests are, what your passions are. Look at the fruit in your life, the things that you've done in your life, your experiences that have been able to bear fruit. And when we look at those things and we look at our passions and the things that we naturally really enjoy, then we're moving in the right direction towards our purpose just by those things alone. And again, when we balance that with the scripture, then it puts us a long way in the right way. And, you know, the other thing as a couple, as I think Julie iterated just a little bit about this earlier, as we look at our core values, that's the next thing that we want to examine, is what's the rules of the road? You know, when we look at core values, those are things that if our core values are being violated, then that's not going to last long. We're going to really, really get sideways really quick if that's happening. So if we can honor each other's core values and find things that we enjoy and are passionate about together that coincide with those core values where we can support them, then we're well on our way to finding our purpose.
So we'll talk on the other side about how to identify those core values and how to get a sense of God's mission. And maybe you and your spouse right now, it's just, you know, you're out of sync with each other. You're irritated with each other. You feel like your differences are repelling, not drawing you near. I would say that's, if you just maybe reframe this, it could be an electrical current that's amazing that will set you up to walk out your purpose. Talking to Greg and Julie Gorman today, title of their book, Two Are Better Than One, God Has a Purpose for Your Marriage. I want to give them the rest of the time. So if you want in on the drawing for the book, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Two Are Better Than One. Make sure you include your mailing address. Your name will go in a drawing. Four of you win a copy of this great book. And more with the Gormans when we return. You know, sometimes that's just what you need. You're running the rat race. You stop. You take a deep breath. And you remember, you belong to God. He loves you. His promises are true for you. Really glad you're listening today. Wondering if you're married, if you've got a sense of purpose and mission for your marriage. Do you have a sense that God brought us together for such a time as this? for this purpose. Well, that's what we're talking about today with Greg and Julie Gorman. Title of their book, Two Are Better Than One, God Has a Purpose for Your Marriage. It's an excellent book. I've got four copies. If you want to get your name in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Two Are Better Than One, include your mailing address, and you go in a drawing. And they write, every couple desiring to live God's purpose eventually faces battles against the enemy who wants to stop them from living God's purpose for their marriage. During those battles, positive mental attitude is not enough, at least not if your battles are like the ones we've faced. God's word alone provides the encouragement necessary to live your marriage purpose. Love for you, Julie, to say more about the spiritual warfare aspect of this discussion.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think that as believers, maybe it's really easy just to get in the same cycle as the world, quite honestly. You know, we're busy. There's kids. There's always more to do on our to-do list than there are hours in the day to do it. And then you throw in life's battles on top of it, and it's easy to get fatigued. And sometimes we don't look at that as being spiritual warfare. It's just, oh, well, it's just something that happens. And yet the Apostle Paul talked about how we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of the air. And the enemy of our soul would love us to do nothing less than just to constantly be consumed by maybe those little annoyances in our relationship. It's all the he said, she said, he didn't, you know, the dirty socks by the laundry basket, and or she never shuts up, and all those different things. And if we're not careful, we allow those forces, that the enemy of our soul, to infiltrate us. If we don't renew our mind, like God says to do, of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so I think that the spiritual aspect is so real. It's so, I'm not strong enough. And I can tell you, Susie, there are mornings where I can still get up and get out on the wrong side of the bed. And so I think that making sure as believers we have that time with God, because if we ever try to get another person to meet all of our needs, we set ourselves up for a real disaster.
Indeed. And even the power of praying together. I mean, if there's one thing that radically changed our marriage all those years ago, is that core value for us. We're having our separate devotional times, but we are coming together. And this dear listener wrote in, says, we've been married over 35 years. Many things are in a state of flux: employment, health, becoming empty nesters. We haven't had a lot of side-by-side ministry, and I feel that we are becoming out of sync since our children are grown and out of the house. How do we get on the path of together instead of parallel? That's just, even the way that you worded that is so excellent. Julie, maybe speak to that. Greg, I'd love for you to speak to it as well.
Yeah, that is so good. You know, Greg and I have to be intentional, because it's easy in ministry especially. We spend ourselves for everybody else. And we caught ourselves just recently where we have a prayer list. And by the way, Susie, you're on that prayer list.
I'd love for you
to know that we really do. When we say that we're going to pray for somebody, we take that serious. But what we found is we were spending our mornings intentionally connecting with God, pouring out and praying for everybody except for one another. And there's something so powerful when a couple can, what we talk about, just short little prayers where we thank God for our spouse. And we say one or two lines that we're, you know, very thankful and grateful for. Greg, what would you add to that?
Well, it's there's something so enduring when we do pray together. And it starts out, I think, really as a discipline. But then, again, it blossoms into something that we really look forward to. And I think for, you know, I'm thinking about this particular person who sent you that email there. It's always easy to recognize how we're different, right? And I would really encourage couples to focus on what their common ground is, and it's exactly what we do in this particular book. Is we look and give instruction, kind of lead them by the hand, if you will, and walk with them as they begin to discover. In fact, we had one couple just in the last week or so reach out to us and say, "Geez, we had no idea we had so much in common." They've been married for like 30 years, by the way, but they were really excited because they took the time to actually look at what their common passions and their common values and so on and so forth were. And though there was a lot of diversity, there were a lot of things that were in common. And then you build off of the common ground. You build a bridge from there.
What's so exciting about that, I think, of this dear listener and others like her, when you get to an empty nest place, you get a fresh vision. God is ready to give it to you, where the enemy would convince you, well, you're done now. It's just kind of all downhill from here. But I just think, boy, your best years can be ahead of you if you get a vision and a sense of what God has. Well, Greg, before the break, you were saying talking about core values and how important it is not to defy those. Say more about that and how important that that is when it comes to casting a vision and getting a hold of God's vision for your life.
Well, in essence, core values define the principles, beliefs, and standards that we live by, right? They're innate in us. We don't have to try to believe in these things. These are the things that, like I said before, they're really the rules of the road. So when we understand our core values and by defining them, we declare this is who we are and this is how we operate. So when we do that as a couple, then again, it helps us to honor them, because if we don't know what our spouse's core value is and hasn't been named, it's interesting because, you know, we give some examples of core values in the book. Some of ours, for instance, are excellence and authenticity. So we share those, excellence and authenticity. So when we come together in excellence and authenticity, then it helps us move in the same direction. And right now we've got some core values that differ, and so I need to make sure that I'm not stepping on those toes as well, because that'll get us sideways in a hurry as well.
that's a good word. Good word. Well, you also talk about how the importance of envisioning the victory, envisioning the story. And I remember a story you tell in the book, and Julie, this will go to you, but I'd love for you both to speak to it. And I loved your honesty here. You talked about a time you'd had 3 moves in 1 year. You didn't have any book contract prospects before you. I don't think you had speaking prospects before you. And yet, and it was tempting to get kind of depressed, to go, okay, our influence seems like it's long gone. We used to have a lot of influence at this particular season, not so much. But then you both decided to look up and get a vision. Like, what do you want to see happen? Julie, take the story from that place.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's really easy. And when we are inundated and everything is going against us, to get discouraged. And so I think, again, that's when we can look forward to the future. In that particular season, like you said, Susie, we had literally moved 3 times in an 11-month period of time. And as God was calling us out to do the ministry, I remember I was like, God, why couldn't you have called us to do this when we had X amount of dollars coming in? Mm. And yet what God showed in that season was that if we would have done it in that timing, right, we would have thought we were something. But God was bringing us to a place where he wanted to show that he was going to do it. And so in that season, as we were really down, we began to envision. God gave us a huge promise. And that promise, at first it was overwhelming. And so Greg said, Julie, you know what? If God spoke it, all we need to do is simply be there for a moment. So what we did, it really sounds a little strange, but it was powerful. We began to envision God's fulfilled promise, because when God whispered his promise to us in the past, he's already seen it in its full fulfillment, right? Mm-hmm. We haven't, because we're bound by time and space, but him and his infiniteness, he spoke it. So when he does that, all we have to do is align our life. And so we began to think, what would that be like? And then we began to feel it. We began to say, well, we're doing this, and we've accomplished that. And we started just to dream. And if we were, you know, million-copy best-selling authors, for example, well, we'd have a staff of people. Well, what happened in all of that, Susie, is instead of thinking, well, how do we get there? How do we get that to happen, which makes me have to shoulder all the responsibility, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes me have to think, well, how are we going to do that? And I look at everything that we don't have. Instead, we were already in that place because God promised it. And so we were going to accept it by faith and move towards it. And when we got there, instead of asking, how do we get there? It was, how did we get here? And we worked from that place and looked back, and then our next steps became really powerfully clear of what we simply needed to do next.
Wow, and it really, you know, just to make the distinction, this is so different than name it, claim it, or power of positive thinking. And that's
yes,
just
thank
a given.
You for that.
Yeah. But I mean, you're always going to have that one person who questions that. But we've got a neurologist doctor who comes in once a month, who's this awesome Christian guy, and he talks about the connection of brain science. And there is something that happens even in our cells at a cellular level when we envision the victory from a faith perspective, the kind of victory that God intends for us. And Greg, when we rehash and rehearse our disappointments and our fears, we're already looking down. But in fact, you wrote this. You said, just as you exercise to strengthen your physical muscles, you can condition your thoughts to align with God's thoughts. The one whose thoughts are higher than your own, and the one who sees his promises in its fulfillment. What did that do for you, Greg, when you sat down and said, okay, God, open our eyes to your plan. Give us a vision of the landscape. When you were sitting in this place of having moved three times and having no immediate prospects, what shifted for you in your perspective and even in your soul?
I love that question. I really do, because let me tell you something. We were not happy campers. We were not. We were miserable, actually. I mean, we were going through a season of stripping, and anything that we could have had our identity tied to, God led us through the wilderness, you know. And so our physical outward circumstances were unchanged. And we started with this question that now we ask our clients, what do you want? We ask ourselves, what do we want for our marriage? And again, as we thought about that, and as we invited God and we said, Lord, what do you want for our marriage? Then we began to see kind of a target, if you will. In other words, we began to see beyond our current circumstances to where we were going again. And then it was just a matter of, do we believe God's word? Do we believe he really wants good things for us? Do we really believe that he won't cast a broken reed aside? Do we really believe that he has great things and a plan and a future, and right? And so as we embraced God's word as being truth, then we were able to believe for things in that moment, Susie, and from then forward, that we couldn't get our head around. And I believe that so often in my life, anyway, I have been able to believe and have faith for what I could get my mind around. And that's really not faith at all.
Yeah.
You know, I was challenged during that season to believe for more than what I could see in my current circumstances, and God challenged us. And one of the exercises that we do with couples is we say, hey, look, just let's make this vision thing easy for you, okay? Let's just pretend I've got a DVD in my hand right now. And it reads, Highlights of Susie Larson's Life, 5 years from now. What's on that DVD? Tell me about it. And what that does is it just allows folks to kind of go into that place where, okay, it's 5 years out. Everything's gone like I want it to go. Here's what's going on if everything's gone well. And what happens is that gives us a target to shoot for. And everybody knows, even if you've never fired a weapon in your life, that it's a whole lot easier to hit a target that you can see than it is one that you cannot see.
Yeah.
Or that you don't even know exists, which isn't the case for most of us, right?
Yeah. Well, the Bible talks about without a vision, people cast off all restraint. So if you don't have a sense of where you're going, to me, I always liken that to the Olympic athlete. You know, they have a vision, so they have restraint. But if there's no sense of forward moving progress, why discipline myself now? But when you have a vision, we talked about that the disciplines are not ought tos, they're get tos. And I loved your T.E. Lawrence quote. I got to read it here and love to have you comment on it after the break. But he writes, all men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds awake to the day to find it was all vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for they may add out of their dreams with open eyes to make it possible. So they wake up out of their dreams with open eyes to make it possible. Love that. When we come back, we're going to talk more about just tangible next steps for walking out your purpose. But I want you to get excited. I don't care if you've been married 1 year or 30 or 40 or 50 years. God has a next place of promise for you. He does. And his promises are true. And he's not finished with you yet. Doesn't it just feel exciting to get a vision and a purpose? That's why you want to check out Gorman's book, Two Are Better Than One. God has a purpose for your marriage. If you want in on the drawing, email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Two Are Better Than One, and you'll go in the drawing for if you get a copy of the book. More with the Gormans when we return.
Diamonds, diamonds, diamonds,
Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're talking about having a vision and a purpose for your marriage. It's even more than raising the kids, although that's a lofty pursuit. But lifting your eyes and saying, God, why did you bring us together? What's our next place of promise? And I got to tell you, every anniversary when my hubby and I go away, we ask God, what audacious thing do you want to do in and through us? And what big gift do you want us to give? And this last, our 30-year anniversary, that was a year and a half ago, the Lord just said so clearly, I want you to do something great in a third world country where you help the people find their livelihood. And long story short, 2 weeks later, we were invited to Rwanda. And I couldn't go because of my health, but Kev went. So we went because he went. You know what I mean? And it was just this powerful time. And he continues his influence there with the ministry in Rwanda. And now next year, Lord willing, our oldest son is going back with my husband, Kevin. It's like our fruit is bearing fruit. And that really is the glory, isn't it, of a vision as it moves the kingdom purposes forward. Love for you both to speak to it. But, Julie, how about you go first?
Yeah, I love that. And coming back to right before the break when you were talking about, you know, it's not a name it, claim it. And we want to be real careful with their. And yet God gives us imagination.
Yeah.
He gives us vision. And because he isn't bound by time or space, some of the things that he shows us may seem really scary and crazy. So it's not, you know, just attributing God's name to something, say, okay, God, here I go, now bless it. Instead, it's God speaks to us. He confirms it through his word. And like he gave you and Kevin that vision, right? And then all of a sudden you had the opportunity. And that's how God works. He prompts our spirit. When it comes under his authority and we test it by the word of God, if it's honoring to him, we can say yes to it and fully believe for it, even when we don't see the end result, right?
Oh, so good.
And so I love that vision. I really do.
Greg, did you want to add to that at all?
I think she covered that one. I love it when she does that.
Isn't that good? I love it. Well, Greg, speak to the idea. You know, it is exhilarating when you decide, I'm going to trust God that he's got something bigger than me to do, bigger than us as a couple. It's exhilarating to get a vision. But how do you protect that vision and stay on mission during the second, the third, and the fourth mile? Because I think that's where we get warrior fatigue at times, vision fatigue. Speak to the whole idea of staying the course and staying on mission.
Yeah, that's another great point. I'm glad you brought it up, because one of the things that we see in Scripture, too, is that when God gives a vision, when he gives a command or whatever, he commands us also to document it and to write it down. And so one of the first things that we encourage folks to do is what we did, which is simply write it down. One thing happens is it anchors it, and now it means something. It's the first physical evidence that your vision exists, if it's something that you can't see right now, right? If it's not physical, then when you write it down, like, you can actually see it. And if we don't do that, then unfortunately what happens is our goals and our vision and our dream become somewhat of a moving target based on our circumstances, because we'll dumb it down because things aren't going quite like we thought they were going to. And usually when we set out to do something, it's always going to take a little longer, and it may take a little more effort, you know, than what we had first anticipated that it would. So when we have it written down, then that helps us to protect it. The other thing that does is that, again, it gives us a specific target. So the way we look at it is it's a guidepost, if you will, for what to say yes to and what to say no to, because there's lots of opportunities that are presented our way, right? And many of them are really good opportunities. But we love the example of Billy Graham and how Billy Graham dedicated his life to saving that which was lost, right? He had lots of opportunities to build universities. He had lots of opportunities to do a lot of feeding programs and things of that nature. And it wasn't that he didn't participate, but he gave all of his attention to the sole thing that he was called to. So it helped him, and it helps us to know exactly what we want to say yes to and exactly what we want to say no to, because we want to move into greatness.
Good. So, Julie, talk about the aspect of humility and flexibility, teachability, all those abilities when we're moving out into the vision that God has, because oftentimes we may have a sense of it, but I don't know if I want to say he edits it, but it doesn't always play out exactly in the timing in the way we think it will. And sometimes it looks completely different. I've had, you know, great ministry friends who said, I thought we were going this way, and he kind of surprised us, but he took us a better way. I really do feel like it's easy to lock in on our picture of what we think it should look like. So speak to that if you would.
Oh, it's so good. You know, I love the scripture where it said Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, right? He didn't know the end destination. He had an idea. I love in scripture where, you know, Joseph wakes up from this dream and he says, okay, we're going to go to the land of Judea, right? And he thinks that they're going to head towards Jerusalem. Well, God gets him up and gets him moving, and then all of a sudden he gives him another dream and they end up in Nazareth. And so all of those different things, it's like as we get up and move, as we get up and go, I think it's really important to maintain that intimate relationship with God in the perspective of listening. I love also how Brother Lawrence said, God needing nothing sees in our works only the love that accompanies them. And the reason why I bring that up is I think humility is so important. If I'm not careful, I'm a type A personality. I'm going to pick it up, Susie, right? I'm going to make it happen. And so by having that position of, God, I'm dependent on you, it allows, again, the Holy Spirit to, you know what, you need to slow down here, Julie, because I know you thought you were going to go get 4 video blogs done today and 4 chapters done in the next book. But right now, there's a couple that just called you, and I need you to minister to them. And would you set aside your agenda for mine? We had a situation that came up, and Greg talked about writing down the vision. I love how in Habakkuk 2, God tells, you know, Habakkuk to write it down. And we had written our vision, and we knew, Susie, that God had called us together to do ministry together. And in short, had been given a tremendous opportunity that would have opened up a door that I could have ministered to 30,000 women on any given weekend. It was an incredible, incredible opportunity. But because of the vision and because of a desire, in this case, thank God that his Holy Spirit stopped me, because it would have been easy to think, you know what, that's a really great thing. I could accomplish a lot for the kingdom of God and talk myself into something. But because of the clarity of the vision, I knew that God was saying no to that. And so I think it's so vital, not to pat myself on the back, because there's plenty of times that I do things and I don't do it right. But in that particular instance, it was because God had put me in a place of humility that I was able to really discern what his perfect plan and will was.
And that is such a good word, Julie, that it does take humility. And I do think sometimes those things test our hearts. They test our ambitions. And they're good for us because it refines the vision as well. And, Greg, I just got to say, you got to be so proud of Julie for saying no to that so she can say yes to what God's called you to as a couple, right?
Absolutely. And it really was it was such a great example, because it would have been a really good opportunity. But it really, the closer we examined it and really bounced it against what we really felt like God's vision was for not only Julie but the whole family, she was left to make that decision, if you will, and she did such a brilliant job of navigating the whole thing and just listened to what and then on the back side, it was interesting because she had such a sense of relief, you know.
Wow, that's a good sign.
And knowing that she was moving in the right direction.
A woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised, and a man who walks with God.
And a husband
I
who
just
loves
say.
Me very much.
This has been fantastic, you guys. And wondering as we get ready to wrap, Greg, would you pray for that person listening today who represents a couple who maybe they're just sort of at odds right now, but they long to be in sync like you two are? Would you pray for that person today?
Thank you. Yes, Lord, Father, we thank you so much that you're with us, God, and that you see us, and you see us in the small things and in the big things. And I just lift up that person right now, God. You know exactly who they are. I pray that you would draw near them, Father, and your word tells us that all things are possible with you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would, as you draw near now, that you would breathe possibilities and whisper love and encouragement to these individuals, Father, who are struggling. We thank you that you're with us. We thank you that you do have a purpose for us as individuals and for us as a couple. And we welcome it, Father. We embrace you and your plans. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Dear Greg and Julie, you are such a precious couple. Appreciate your ministry and your leadership so much. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Susie. We love you.
Love you, too. And I can't thank you enough for your prayers. Wow, that just means the world to me. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. And just a bit, you'll find a podcast of this conversation up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Surely you've got a friend who's married who needs a fresh vision for their marriage. Be a radio missionary. With a click of a button, you can send today's program with Greg and Julie out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. Remember, if you want to enter the drawing for this book, the title is Two Are Better Than One. Email me, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. Put Two Are Better Than One in the subject line. Give me your mailing address. Four of you will get a copy of this great book. And just remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.